Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Well, on Divine Intervention today, we are trying not only a white wine, but a red wine as well. Two from the same estate, two for the price of nothing if you've downloaded this podcast. The estate is Doran, but before I go into the wines, we must wing down to Cape Town, where our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier, is waiting to talk us through them. Michael, great to chat to you.
Oh, John, thanks so much for having me back.
And just so you know, Michael, in the Joburg studio with me, we have Sogo Sons sommelier, group sommelier, Miguel Chan, who's no stranger to Divine Intervention, but it's great to have him back again. We have Jeremy Sampson, who is difficult to get rid of, but always a delight to have you here, Jeremy.
Bye-bye, John.
Jeremy, of course, is a branding expert and drinks too much. And last but not least, we have Dwayne Newman of Covert Advisory, a former partner at Deloitte. He now runs his own consultancy, and it is expanding quite rapidly, I think, Dwayne. So we're glad we managed to coax you into the studio.
Okay, hi, John.
Well, welcome to you all.
I didn't say hi.
You don't have to. You don't have to, Miguel. You don't have to. You can say hi at the end. Okay, Michael, we have two wines from Doran. One is a 2012 Shiraz, but I think we're going to start with... Oh, I've got the 2012 Shiraz in front of me. It's a Chenin Blanc, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, maybe you could talk us through that.
Doran Vineyards is sort of reasonably new. It's a partnership between André Badenhorst, who's an old Constantia wine person, and Edwin Doran, who's an Irish chap. And they've been friends for a long time and started Doran Vineyards in 2010. It's in the Fuhr de Berg. And they've got a young winemaker there called Martin Lambrecht, who they brought out from France, interestingly. I like the Chenin. I think it's a 2012, so it's had time to sort of settle down. It's quite sort of fleshy. There's nice sort of classical Chenin stuff going on there. There's sort of quince and a little bit of nice sweet white pear going on there, and some sun-dried peach in the background, and then that sort of almost sort of dry honey flavour that one gets in a Chenin. I like this as a glass of wine very much.
I find it quite elegant, quite rich. It's certainly not a lightweight wine. Am I detecting a bit of wood in there, or am I completely off guard as usual?
Yeah, I think you are detecting a little bit of wood in there. Yeah.
Miguel, you know about wine. What do you think of it?
I think you're right. It's a full-bodied Chenin Blanc. Definitely had the element of oak in it. And possibly there's a note of botrytis. So I reckon there is a touch of noble late harvest either on the grapes or added to it to beef up the texture. It's a beautiful plush style, rich, lovely with substantial food. Things of a crayfish, thermidor. This kind of pairing will be just fantastic with it.
I think you're right. Crayfish, lobster, prawns.
Oh, yes.
In a nice, rich sauce.
Yep. Yep.
Wonderful. Jeremy Sampson, your thoughts?
Basically, John, Chenin's my favourite cultivar, I think, in any case. And this is quite a heavy one, as Miguel said. Very tasty, very flavourful. And I remember hearing the Irish gentleman who's a co-owner of this estate talking on radio a couple of months ago. And it is very interesting how he's investing, like quite a few wealthy overseas individuals, in the Western Cape and developing stunning wines.
Dwayne.
Oh, John, I mean, I agree with Jeremy. I mean, it's an enjoyable wine. I think it's a lot heavier than I would normally drink. I would enjoy a white wine. So if you compare it to a lot of the other white wines, Sauvignon Blancs, I would drink more of. This is obviously quite heavy, but I think you're right. Ultimately, enjoying it with probably a heavy seafood dish, which is probably making me rather hungry quite at this point in time. I would enjoy it, and I need to have another drink.
Right, and Michael, just going back to that point, you can get all sorts of Chenin Blancs, can't you? You can get sweet ones, you can get very dry ones, you can get cheap ones, expensive ones, elegant ones. ruffian ones.
John, the thing is that Chenin Blanc is the largest planted South African grape type. I mean, our vineyard is six times the size of the French Chenin Blanc vineyard. So, and you know, unfortunately, it was sort of known as the workhorse of the industry, simply because it could produce anything from the driest of whites to the most full-bodied. It makes fabulous brandy. It makes wonderful sherry, bubbly, concentrated for grape juice, all sorts of stuff.
And Miguel, somebody yeah. who's not only a fan of wine, but your business is to help advise people what to drink, to see what wines should be on restaurant wine lists in the many Sogos and hotels. Is Chenin Blanc a challenge? For instance, would an overseas visitor turn up their nose at it? Would a South African?
Fortunately, Chenin Blanc is seeing a revival. There is a surge in demand, and there's better interest in the variety itself. It's nowhere as close as a Sauvignon Blanc in terms of sales, but nevertheless, it is in the right direction. It is extremely food-friendly, and as you said earlier, there are many different styles of Chenin Blanc that suits for different pocket, different occasion, different type of dishes, and different time of the year.
And of course, Wayne, you were suggesting earlier that you would gravitate towards a Sauvignon Blanc rather than a Chenin Blanc. I find that if you're taking a stab in the dark in a state that you don't know very well, and you have to choose between the two, quite often I find the Sauvignons can be a little bit too acidic, even with a meal. I find Chenin Blanc is in general a more digestible, enjoyable wine, and Jeremy was suggesting that it's one of his preferences as well. What do you think, Dwayne?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously a heavier wine, so it's got more complexity. So, I mean, I wouldn't sit and drink it on a real hot summer's day, and obviously we're going into summer now. So, I'd probably be tending at this time of the year, probably moving towards the Sauvignon Blanc as opposed to the Chenin. So, but I would have it maybe with an evening meal. And this one, I think, is moving up the list.
I just have to mention that our Joburg audience is drinking a bottle that didn't really spend enough time chilling, so it's certainly warmer than I would choose to serve it. And I'm not convinced by what you're saying, Dwayne. I think that a glass of this, really well chilled with a meal, would work. What, Jeremy, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you, John. But this is where it comes down to personal taste, and I think, as we all know, our personal tastes as individuals can change, you know, from the moment where we are. I always find it rather strange that I seem to enjoy a glass of wine down in the Western Cape more than I do up in Gauteng. And I think there are reasons for that. It wasn't just my imagination. You know, talking to Miguel a little while ago, he said, oh yes, there are reasons for that. But I'm finding the Sauvignon Blanc a little bit acid for me at the moment. And as you're raising the issue of food, I'm realizing more and more that the pairing can be very crucial. I was in London a couple of months ago, and I had some mackerel, and I didn't know what to drink with it. And mackerel, as you know, is quite an oily fish, and this was in a very good restaurant in London. And I said to the sommelier, what to drink? And he gave me from Languedoc a Chenin, and it was absolutely beautiful, the way it cut through. And the two together were absolutely, I could dream about it.
Wow. Think about it. Chenin Blanc is a high acid grape. It is one of the most food friendly white varieties besides Riesling and Chardonnay out there. And if we look at the diversity of styles we have in South Africa, it's really fantastic and gives a lot of option to play with pairings. And definitely, it's much lower, much more palatable, as you say. It has that creaminess, that texture to it.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we've gone through the white quite exhaustively. Now it's time to move on to the red, which is a 2012 Shiraz. Michael, tell us about this.
John, this is been made with 80% destalked and 20% whole bunch, and they whole soak it for 4 days before they make it. It has a year in 500 liter French oak barrels, of which 10% are new. They also leave, before it goes into the barrel, they leave it on skin to macerate for about 2 months before the pressing takes place. I find this is fairly sort of typical Shiraz. My feeling is that it is slightly oxidized, Maybe not overtly so, but it's got those sort of classical things that one looks for in a Shiraz, that I certainly look for, and that is ripe plums, sort of blackberries, like elderberries, and that sort of little wash of spice in the background. I quite like this because this has got quite a floral nose. I think good tannins as well, and quite a nice long aftertaste.
Well, I have to say, Michael, this is we're now in the Joburg studio on our second bottle of this, and you mentioned slightly oxidized. The first bottle really wasn't very nice. There's something a little bit off, I think, with this second bottle as well, which is a shame because I think this is the first time in well over a year that we've been doing Divine Intervention that we have come across a bottle which is tainted. And I know that at one stage, Miguel, there was a suggestion that 1 in 10, roughly, bottles of corked wine with corks rather than screw tops might have something a little wrong with them. I think it's got a lot better, but today maybe we're unlucky with this red.
I would say, as Michael has said, there's an oxidation character to it. Probably it's the style that the winemaker intended the wine to be. It's made in an oxidative style. It's more a Syrah than a Shiraz, and it's more about expressing the sight and the earthy note rather than the plushness of the fruit. And it has a dryness that lends itself to uncomplicated quaffing. And it's a Shiraz with Syrah on its own that it's quite divisive in nature.
I agree. As you may know, I went for a tasting for the Cape Winemakers Guild wines. Yep. And I think you were one of the largest bidders, if not the largest bidder, at that Nedbank-sponsored auction. And I was quite surprised, I think you were there as well, Jeremy, I was quite surprised how I really did not like the Shiraz as compared to the other cultivars in that tasting. And I have to say that pattern is continuing today. But what do I know? Dwayne Newman, good, bad, ugly?
I'm not a fan of Shiraz at the best of times. I mean, I prefer my Merlots and Pinotages. So to be honest, I mean, I wouldn't drink this at all. So now you're forcing me to drink it and give you an opinion. I mean, I don't like it at all.
Well, that's fine. That's your opinion. Yeah, not everybody likes everything, which is why the world of wine is so wondrous, because you can go down one alley and find something that doesn't appeal. There are many, many alleys. Jeremy Sampson?
I am not enjoying it either, I have to say, but that wouldn't stop me trying another bottle. I think, as you say, we might be unlucky here. 2 out of 2 is very unlucky. It looks interesting, the bouquet and everything, there's lots of promise there, but it's not quite right, you know, and that's what worries me. Interesting as well what Michael was saying in the intro about stalks and things like that, and I hadn't realized before that when you make wine, leaving the stalks in or taking the stalks out can actually have a huge influence. Perhaps Michael could educate us a little bit more.
Michael, are you a stalker? And I don't mean in your private life.
I think the thing is with de-stemming and not de-stemming and leaving the stalks in, I think that if you whole bunch press, you have a much softer kind of press, and perhaps you don't get the tannin from the stalks. But a lot of that will depend on how you apply your press at the time of harvesting. Some winemakers like to get a little bit of that sort of little bit of green stalk tannin into their wines for some reason or other. I don't know. I think it depends very much on your style of winemaking.
And obviously, Michael, you selected this because this is a wine that you wanted to taste and enjoy. Do you think that maybe if we'd have had a different bottle or a different vintage from the same production, that there might have been more smiles?
Do you know what I'm thinking is, Miguel said something about perhaps the wine is made in a more oxidative style, and I just wonder if that isn't what we're tasting, and that perhaps it's not oxidized. Perhaps it's just a different kind of flavor to the flavor we're used to. Martin Lambrecht, the young winemaker. I've tasted other of his wines. He was in France. He was brought out back to South Africa to make wine there. And maybe this is a style of Shiraz that he makes.
Ah, what do the French know about wine? Miguel, well, a final thought from you. Am I being unkind?
No, no. If you look at where Doran is situated, you have the Swarden boys across the road. It's pretty much the style de rigueur where you would find that kind of, I won't say it's maverick winemaking, but they tend to go the natural route, spontaneous fermentation, no addition of tannin, no addition of acid, no alcohol removed. And that tend to produce a different style of wine. So that to be fair to the wine, yeah. Perhaps we should try another, a third bottle to have a firm conclusion of what it is. Yeah.
Well, we'll offer them that right of reply, Michael. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but certainly a really delicious Chenin Blanc from Doran and a Shiraz on which I think there are mixed opinions, but it's always useful to try something. Michael Olivier, many thanks for talking us through those wines.
Thanks, John.
And many thanks to our Joburg guests, Dwayne Newman.
Thanks, John.
Jeremy Sampson.
Cheers, John.
And Miguel
Chen. Thanks, John.
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.